You're listening to Sunnyside Up, a B2B podcast that brings you the juiciest insights from go-to-market leaders and practitioners.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Sunnyside Up. I'm Paige Wilder, your host for the Special Women in Tech series. So today I'm thrilled to speak with Ashwini Mandrakar, Jennifer Hughes, and Stella Wei on overcoming imposter syndrome and cultivating inclusion. So welcome, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Yeah,
good. So we'll go around the room and just, I want to get a little bit of background on everybody, your journey in the tech industry, any challenges that you've faced as a woman in the tech industry, and just your overall journey into your current role. So Stella, how about you start?
Sure. So hi, everyone. My name is Stella Wei, and I am a design specialist at Demandbase. I actually didn't start that long ago. I was a summer intern at Demandbase right after graduate school, and then I became a contractor and then a full-time employee just last year. So I've been here for about 2 years so far, and it's kind of crazy to me like how I became a person who worked in the tech industry, because I went to art school and I studied design. And even up to this day, I still have questions like, does design count as part of the tech industry? But I think the conclusion is definitely a yes. I think there are a lot of challenges for a designer who works in a tech company versus someone who doesn't, and that is just part of our daily lives.
Awesome. Jennifer, how about you go next?
Yeah, I'm sort of the other side of the pendulum from Stella, because I'm 52, so I've had a long and what I would consider sort of a non-linear varied career to get to this point in tech. I started out as a lawyer for about 10 years. So the good news there is that I'm from Texas. So I was already sort of well-versed in a lot, you know, the challenges around stereotypes around women and navigating all of that in Texas politics, but I loved it. And then I took a brief break to have 3 kids in 4 years. And when I was ready to go back to work, I couldn't bear going back to being a lawyer where I realized I was never going to see my kids. So I started writing. I've always sort of been a storyteller at heart, which it, you know, goes across being a lawyer and being a marketer, obviously. And so I was doing a lot of freelance writing, and it just naturally turned into marketing, which turned into a lot of B2C marketing, which then finally got me here to B2B marketing. It's been not unlike the buyer's journey, this sort of all over the place kind of way to get here, but I absolutely love it. Like, I feel like I'm where I need to be, and I love my role here in this company and everything.
Awesome. And then last but not least, Ash, let's go to you.
Hey, everyone. This is Ashwini Mandrakar. So I work as a senior advertising data analyst at Demandbase for our advertising team. To give you a background about me, so I have a bachelor's in computer engineering, like always been fascinated by technology. And you know that I would say that love for technology led me to pursue a master's in management of technology, and I did it from NYU. And so that was when, I moved to the US from India in terms of, you know, navigating the tech industry, you know, in an entirely new country. So, you know, that was like one of challenging aspects of this life. And after I completed my master's, I directly, you know, started working with a digital advertising company, and I've been like working in the ad tech space for I would say like over 5 years now. And and again, like having been on like, you know, both the sides of the world in terms of the tech industry, or like, you know, any industry you can say. So having seen, you know, both sides, and I would say that it's, you know, women are like facing these different things on, you know, both these sides. It's like everywhere. And so I believe that, you know, navigating it through our own way is like challenging, but also it's interesting, and you definitely do learn a lot. Yeah.
That's so awesome. And I think just like seeing that everybody kind of has a different background is really great. And myself, I also had just kind of a random background of stuff. I started in radio personally back when I, right after I graduated college, I went into radio hoping to be in the radio industry for a long time, being at a, I graduated with a music tech degree, so very different from what I'm doing now, obviously, but I got into digital marketing in the radio business. So it was kind of a mix of radio sales and digital sales, and just fell in love with digital marketing. So that's how my career kind of skyrocketed into digital marketing. And similar to you, Jennifer, I was in B2C for a long time and then transferred into B2B when I found Demand Base. So it's really cool to see everybody's different journeys into the tech world. So on to our next question. So as far as the stereotypes we often hear, how do you think we best challenge and break those stereotypes about women's abilities and roles in technology, both whether it is within this industry or even outside the industry? Jennifer, do you want to start?
Yeah, I think, you know, what kind of struck me in one of my prior companies that was B2B, but it was the security industry. So truly, like, the number, raw number of women was very low. That's not unexpected. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to always come back to saying that, like, say things out loud, right? Have the freedom to sort of talk about them. Because I remember after some event in particular, I pointed out to my manager, I said it was interesting to be there that whole weekend in the booth and, you know, never see any other woman representing our company, that particular event. And I mean, it had not even occurred to any of them, right? And it's not their fault per se. Like, you can't, nobody's going to know something until you tell them something, right? And so just sort of opening the door to that conversation actually led to some really good conversations from there. Like, so just, you know, saying things out loud, making women, you know, realize they're not the only ones obviously experiencing something, but also for the benefit of the men, these conversations, you know, the, like, women-only forums can be amazing, and I love the one we have here at Demand Base. It's incredible, so valuable. And then there's also a value to having men in the conversation so that they can start to kind of escalate their understanding of what we're experiencing.
Yeah, definitely. And then, Ash, like, what are you, bouncing off of that, what do you think as far as breaking those stereotypes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Again, like, I think I've, like, you know, seen it all over the world, I can see. But yeah, I think, again, as Jennifer said, you know, that when, you know, if you're seeing, you know, if you feel like there's something wrong going on, or, you know, if you think like there's, like, room for improvement, definitely, you know, you should, like, seek out someone. And, like, even if it's, like, you know, not someone, you know, you're directly reporting to, or someone, but there might be, you know, just someone in the company, you know, who would, like, love to help you out. And yeah, and I definitely agree that, you know, there we need to have, like, these employee resource groups for, specifically for women, you know, where women, like, from, like, let's say one company, or, you know, like, let's say from one tech industry or something, can come together and discuss the, you know, problems they generally face, and just to, you know, have you hear someone out. And, you know, it just helps talking about these things. And again, like, making everyone aware about it is also, like, really important. Like, again, as much as, you know, it's in the hands of women, but it's also about everyone else around us. Like, even the men need to be, like, equally supportive. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. And Stella, anything to add to those points? Anything that you've seen that really just stands out?
Yeah, well, first of all, I definitely agree with speaking up and making yourself seen, because I think representation is such an important factor into fighting stereotype. And it's not only for yourself, but for other women to see that there is an example out there, there is representation out there. And that is, it really boosts your confidence, and it really helps other people too. And another thing I would like to add is, just at the end of the day, there are stereotypes, but when you look at yourself, you kind of have to ignore that a little bit and just do what you do.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. I agree with all those points. I mean, I don't have too much to add to that. I think everybody really just covered it perfectly. And kind of shifting, still kind of relating to that, we often encounter imposter syndrome, especially in different kinds of careers like these. So as far as that goes, have you ever experienced imposter syndrome in your career? And then if so, how did you overcome that? Ash, do you want to start with that?
Yeah, sure. I would say there has definitely been a time in my career where, there was this one point where, I was like, am I, doing things right? Like, what's going on? And, there's like a lot of self-doubt and you're just like confused about how to deal with it. And yeah, and I feel that during like such situations, I think it's really important for you to value yourself. When like for me, like I started thinking about my efforts, like the previous hard work that I've done, and then you're having that pep talk with yourself that, like, hey, it's like you've worked hard for things and there's a reason why you're here. So feel like, yeah, just being, your biggest cheerleader yourself, like that definitely helps.
Definitely. Yeah, being your own cheerleader. I love that. And then Stella, what do you think? How have you overcome imposter syndrome if you have experienced it?
Oh yeah, definitely. And for me, I think there's a lot of mixture between like I didn't come from traditionally what you consider a tech background and also being a new grad starting their first job. So I was actually a little terrified when I first started out. And
Oh, yeah.
I didn't show it on the outside, but inside I was like having many panic attacks. And a lot of it came from, am I good enough for this? I'm not so familiar with this industry. I don't know if I can deliver great work. But I think a lot of the confidence comes from just doing what you're doing every day and then just constantly learning new things and new tricks and applying those. And then just kind of not be afraid of dipping your toes into areas that you haven't tried before. And then after every project, after something that's different that you have never done before, it'll boost your confidence a little bit, and then you can use that to counter your imposter syndrome.
Definitely, those new experiences are so important, and especially just getting comfortable with something outside your comfort zone is definitely a good combatant to that imposter syndrome. And then lastly, Jen, did you have any imposter syndrome? Obviously, with like your wide experience, not only in tech, but like as a lawyer, I mean, was there any kind of imposter syndrome for you as well?
I mean, what strikes me about like hearing Stella talk is really sort of the progress I think that's been made in general, because she's so much younger than me. And when I was your age, I didn't have the sort of tools and awareness that you have. But and in fact, it reminds me, just this morning I was like watching the Today Show while I was like drinking my coffee. And Hoda Kotb was interviewing this woman named Jenny Kavanaugh, who's going to be the first female in history to be the main play-by-play announcer for Major League Baseball for the Oakland
Oh,
A's,
wow.
which was incredible. Totally gave me chills. And so, but as they were going through the interview, they both mentioned experiencing imposter syndrome still. And these are two women who, in their respective careers, have reached like a true apex of sorts, right? I mean, but I love that they were talking about it, because again, not to be a broken record, but like one of the first paths to overcoming it is to know we're not alone. And the way you do that is by talking about it, right? Like every woman, any of us know, and look up to has experienced it. And so it gives us like permission to talk about it, right? It's funny I say like we need permission. It kind of gives us permission to realize we don't have to have permission to talk about
Right.
it. Because I think like the thing I always think about imposter syndrome is it almost has this like sense of shame to it, right? There's an element of I don't deserve to be where I am right now. And at any minute, everyone else is going to realize it too. I think we probably all heard Brené Brown like talk about shame, right? And it's like, how do you combat shame? You say it out loud. And so that's why I love that we're having this conversation. And really and truly, I think these kinds of conversations are how I overcame it in the last like maybe 5 years of my career. Is just I don't, I no longer sort of live with that fear that I don't deserve this role that I'm in now and the sort of the respect and recognition that comes with it. Part of that may just be because I'm 52, which seems to be an age where women stop caring about things that don't matter as much as we used to think they did. There's like the shedding of the noise. But I really attribute it to a lot of these conversations I have had with other women in the last several years, honestly, to overcoming it. So that it's almost like a group therapy, right? That we're all having together.
Right.
And it really makes a difference in understanding like we're not alone. There's a path out of this. So, yeah.
Yeah, those conversations are so important. And I think something that I personally have learned over the years, and I mean, I haven't been in my career super long. I mean, I've been in digital marketing probably about 6.5, 7 years. And what even just like in the past few years that I've learned that asking questions is not a bad thing. So even if you feel like you're repeating yourself, or if it's like it feels like a very simple question that you should know, it's like really you're still learning. We're all whatever level that we're at, we're all still learning about what we're doing. There's always going to be something new that comes up in our tech world, in our digital marketing realm every day. Something new that's going to just change the course of how our typical day-to-day goes. So asking those questions, whether from experts or those who are just getting started, and just having those conversations is so important. So it's never a bad thing to ask questions. It's never a bad thing to learn something new, because honestly, we're all students. We are forever students, even if we become teachers. So that's something that I've personally seen. And we kind of talked about giving advice to women. So we've talked about how we can advise them to not, I guess, not necessarily experience imposter syndrome, but start to move away from it if they are experiencing it. So glancing over it one more time, like what's one piece you could say to somebody starting in their career that is experiencing some imposter syndrome, or maybe they are deep into their career and are having those symptoms of like, ooh, I don't know if I'm in the right career, if I don't know if I'm doing all of this right. So what's one piece of advice that you all could give to a woman, no matter what level of experience that she's in right now?
I might say, like, find your people within your company, within your industry, to that you're safe having conversations with, where you feel like you can be vulnerable, which it can be really hard. Find a few core people. Maybe find someone who's been doing it longer than you, and even someone who's been doing it less time with you. Both conversations are so valuable. So just sort of like find the people you feel safe to kind of share some of this with. And I one literally 100% guarantee that you will benefit from that all along the way, not just imposter syndrome, on any topics, by kind of finding your plumb line foundation of people to talk to.
Definitely. And Ash, what do you think? What's one piece of advice you would give to a woman who's having imposter syndrome?
I would definitely say, you know, again, like us learning to, you know, value the things that we do, and trusting yourself with the things you do. I think like that's very important, because again, as I said, that, you know, it's just like having that talk with yourself, and you know, it really helps you to like build up confidence to, you know, to like actually speak up about things that you know, you are like worried about or have questions about. So, you know, once you know that, okay, this is happening to me, and okay, let's you know, seek out some help, and like let's see who can help.
Awesome. And Stella, what's one piece of advice you could give?
I would say sometimes you just have to look at your work from an outside perspective and just be objective about it. If you've been doing great work, definitely give yourself the credit and don't be shy, like cheering yourself up. And if you recognize there are room for improvement, there's also no shame that if you need to improve on some areas, even the best of us are not superhumans, and we are allowed to grow and to improve. And I think that's just part of a careers woman's life. Like, you just need to be able to acknowledge that and just own up to it.
Definitely. All right, so we're going to kind of go a different direction. We've already talked about how we ourselves could possibly like improve ourselves as far as like that imposter syndrome side, but I know that we sometimes will still see companies nowadays that don't necessarily prioritize women in the tech world. So what's something that companies can implement to retain and support women throughout their careers in tech? Like, so particularly in terms of having that career progression, not just staying in one spot, but hopefully eventually in their career with that company going up into a more of a leadership position. How about Jen, how about we start with you?
This is a great question, because I love to like always kind of wrap up these conversations with like, okay, what do we do now, right? What's the action item?
What's the action? Yes, exactly.
What I would love to see is like companies normalizing and like rewarding sort of trying new things, right? Taking risks. Mm-hmm. Women are just taught to be so much more risk averse than men. And what ends up happening, not surprisingly, is we can end up sort of playing it safe, right? And that can be a real hurdle or a speed bump, at least to moving up the ladder, right? To those leadership opportunities. Often leadership opportunities, the good ones, are filled with people who sort of saw a new path and tried something. And if you're in sort of a culture where women aren't encouraged to do that as much as men are, you know, you're going to see a disparity there. So I would love to see companies finding ways to encourage women. I mean, offer processes, right? If you have ideas that they haven't been done before, whether it's from a product perspective, a work culture perspective, whatever it is, speak to your manager and your leadership about it, but with a process, right? Draw up a plan. What does it look like? And if they agree it's worth trying, get out there and try it, right? I mean, companies can come up with these processes. And then what ends up happening is sort of the value of both the woman as a company employee and the company itself gets jacked up, right? And mm-hmm. and for any ideas that don't end up meeting, like you try and you fail next time, you know, fail better, you're working out the muscle. Again, both the woman and the company are working out a muscle that says, hey, this is a process we're putting out there to get these results. I would love to see something around, hey, women, bring us your ideas. We are listening. Help us innovate, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And then Stella, how about we hop to you? What do you think something that a company could include to help support women that are wanting to be more in those leadership roles?
I would definitely say that having some resources like a support group or supporting materials and make that accessible to women in their own company is definitely important. It's always good to know that there are other people who support you and are in this together with you, and it makes you feel less lonely and less scared in a sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then Ash, what do you think? What's something that a company could include in their resources for a woman hoping to progress their career?
I definitely feel, companies need to start leading by example. You know, like we definitely hear these words that, you know, we need more women in the tech industry. We need more women in, you know, STEM and stuff. But yeah, you know, it's like it's in the companies when, you know, they start creating these opportunities for women, I feel that's where, you know, it like motivates these women to try for like, you know, trying out something new and to like, because otherwise, like when you see some exec boards or something, you know, there's, you can like just generally see the difference, right? So I think, you know, when they know that, you know, they can also, you know, have a seat at the table, I think, you know, yeah, I think that would like really make a difference. And I can give demand base as example itself. Here for demand base India, we had a women engineers hiring drive. So I feel like that was like something amazing that was like done by demand base that, you know, to promoting more female software engineers in our company. So yeah, so that's basically what I'm saying, that, you know, leading by example. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I think demand base does a great job, piggybacking on what you said, Ash, that they do a great job as far as supporting women in those higher roles. And even for both men and women, we're seeing that as far as from what I can see from being here for almost 6 months now, is there's a clear path if you do want to progress. There's charts that say, here's your list of what you can expect to try to go for, something that you should be doing to exceed into your next role. And then to have managers, you know, speaking on your behalf that do want to see you progress, to see you go up into those leadership roles, having somebody, not only somebody to speak for you, but then you to speak for yourself. So then you have two powerhouses that are going to help you succeed and move forward. So that's really awesome. I'm glad that we're all getting different sides and different experiences from that. So as we close down, we always like resources. I'm sure everybody loves to have a certain book or person that they look up to. So is there anything like a book or blog or a specific podcast that you'd recommend to anybody listening? Stella, how about we start with you?
Sure. So I have a podcast I recommend. It's called Women at Work. And this is a podcast that's run by the Harvard Business Review. And they do cover a lot of topics such as how to speak your mind at work, about gender equality in the workspace. But there are also more personal topics like how dual income couples thrive or how ADHD is different for women. So it touches on both your career life in a corporate environment, but also the more personal side of work. And you can find this podcast either on Spotify or Harvard Business Review's website.
Great. And then Ash, what about you?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to recommend some books because I read a lot too. I think one would be Atomic Habits. I think it's a great book for something for you to implement in your professional as well as personal lives. I think that book is really like a game changer. It has been for me. I think the other one would be I Am Malala by Malala herself. I think that's really a very interesting read. And the way, you know, she has been, you know, fighting for women's education and stuff. And I think like that book really inspires you. So I would say that, you know, like definitely you should give it a read.
Awesome. And Jen, last but not least.
I love that you mentioned that book because my daughter read that book in eighth grade and she's a senior in high school now and she still talks about it. She like has never forgotten the inspiration of that book. So that's a great call. A lot of what I do is I'll go to the TED Talk site and I'll just search women in tech, you know, imposter syndrome. The library is incredible. Like if you need to, like if you're good with rabbit holing down and just getting, you know, really like explore the different styles and things of the people talking about those things. And then you mentioned like, you know, people at here who have inspired us. And I think I would often, kind of like I mentioned about Stella in the beginning, I'm actually often inspired, not just by the people who have been above me and, you know, helped pave the way for all of us more, but also these women that are younger who have this like incredible sense of confidence about themselves. And it really is actually inspiring. I often learn things from the people on my team that are just as valuable as the, you know, learning things from the people that I manage up to or who are leaders.
Awesome. And then as we continue forward with these kind of podcasts, these special editions where we do highlight some awesome women in our demand-based company. Are there any guests that you would recommend that would have some really great advice, whether it is about, you know, women in tech imposter syndrome, some other key items that we're going to go over as we continue this podcast? Anybody in particular that you're thinking of? Ash, do you have somebody in mind?
Mm-hmm. Someone at demand-based, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I would definitely recommend Mary Beth. So she has been a wonderful co-worker. I think Jennifer knows her as well. I think she's amazing at her work and even as a person. And yeah, and like, again, we get along really well as well. So yeah, I think she would definitely have like some really, you know, great insights about this.
Yeah. That's great. Jen, what about you?
I literally had Mary Beth on my
list.
One of my favorite people. Another person who I just could talk to and listen to for ages, who is always positive but has like amazing insights, is Debbie Saskin. Just incredible human, all around, always helpful, but you know, always kind of dropping this wisdom all along the way. So. I love Debbie.
She is actually my manager. So I love the call out for Debbie. Yes, she's wonderful. And then Stella.
I recommend Janice Bowen, and she works on content. I think that she would be a perfect candidate for this podcast because she is such a role model. I definitely admire the lot of work that she does and also her attitude when it comes to work.
Awesome. That's great. Those are all great suggestions, great people that we can definitely talk to. And then lastly, is there any way that people can get in contact with you all? Do you have like a LinkedIn, any kind of social media that is to the public that we'd be willing to share?
For sure. Jennifer Sutton Hughes on LinkedIn. Hit me up, great. Connect with me. Yeah, I'm always happy to have these conversations and help or be helped in any way, you know, kind of grow the group.
Yes, exactly. I'm Stella.
Yep, you can also find me on LinkedIn. My name is Stella Way.
Stella Way. And then Ash, are you on LinkedIn as well?
So you can definitely find me on LinkedIn. It's Ashwini Mansrekar. Yeah, and I also maintain like a tiny blog where I sometimes write. So it's theshootingstarblog.com. And so, yeah, and I think I mentioned it to Paige that I just like wanted to, see a small poem that I'd written a while back. And it was like, I actually wrote it on last Women's Day. So I just like wanted to, you know, read it out for everyone. She chose to be the voice. So for all the voices of women that go unheard, for all the voices that have been silenced by years of patriarchy, for all the muffled cries of help that went unnoticed, for all the shout outs that were muted in the battle of equality, she chose to be the voice that would echo through the mountains of restraint and let the women know that they are not alone. They never were. So, yeah.
That's wonderful. That's awesome. Love Thank that. You so much for sharing that, Ash.
Wow. Thank you.
Great for that was a great way to end our first episode of this special edition of Women in Tech. And thank you so much for your time. It was great chatting with all of you, and we'll chat again soon. So thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Today's episode is made possible by Demandbase. Demandbase is smarter GTM for B2B brands to help marketing and sales teams spot the juiciest opportunities earlier and progress them faster. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Sunnyside Up. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube and Demandbase TV.